Previous program was Neurodiversity Expert Speak with Natalie Tandyway, and that's heard Fridays at 2 p.m. Stay tuned for EcoLogic coming up.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is EcoLogic for December 4th, 2020.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Does nuclear power affect our health, including COVID? Is nuclear power good or bad for the climate crisis? Is nuclear power good or bad for electricity needs and rates? Listen in today.
And, you know, in the 40s and 50s, people knew about the health effects of ionizing radiation. They're aware of it from the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They're aware of it from nuclear above-ground nuclear tests all during the 50s. And we don't seem to have that knowledge nowadays. People are very cavalier about radiation, and it's kind of strange. Rachel Carson not only talked about DDT and other pesticides, she talked about above ground nuclear tests and what they're doing to our health. Our Nobel laureates put a letter in the New York Times talking about above ground nuclear tests because the radiation was messing up our health. The Pope did an encyclical about it in 1963. So people knew about it then, but they don't seem to know about it now. And all during that time, the nuclear power industry was saying that they're safe and they're not harmful like that and they're not bombs. And yet, once or twice every single day, every nuclear power plant puts forth radiation into the air in the forms of so many different elements that get into our body and mess up our health in all different ways. And books like Anna Giorgi's No Nukes spell out which parts of the body different radioactive elements damage. And it's important to understand that aspect of nuclear power. And yet, because
what's interesting,
nuclear, yeah, Because nuclear power damages our immune system with those routine emissions of radiation every day, that means we are more susceptible to COVID. And indeed, there have been studies showing COVID clusters near nuclear power plants. So it's not just cancer that they cause. It's all kinds of problems.
What's interesting is that when they do studies on radiation and how it affects the health, they use reference man, 160-pound tall adult male who, you know, is not as susceptible as an infant, as even a small woman whose women's bodies process radiation differently. So even when they're looking at it, they're missing the point, or most of the point.
Oh, that is such a good point.
The other thing about the COVID clusters is every nuclear plant shuts down for refueling periodically, every year and a half, 2 years.
Right.
And how many workers come in from all over the country, because they're specialized guys who know how to do this, or women, or whomever, and bring who knows what with them into a community.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the COVID clusters move around the country. Isn't that nice?
Yep.
And, you know, I've gotten email from environmental groups that, God, it's hard to say this, it included information that was written by lawyers for the nuclear industry. And I'm thinking, how can you be an environmentalist and help the nuclear industry around? And, you know, I was a science geek when I was a kid. It's probably been obvious from listening to Ecologic that I must have been. And every year in high school and junior high, they had people from the nuclear industry, local nuclear utility, come to every single science class and tell people if you cared about the future and if you cared about science, you have to be pro-nuclear. And I was a child. I never heard any opposing viewpoint. So I totally bought into it. And as I started meeting people who were anti-nuclear, I would tell them what I knew, right? And, well, they heard the same stuff from the nuclear industry that I had. But they had information I did not have. And the more I learned and the more I investigated what they had to say, I gradually realized I had been lied to every year in school. And there was no connection between pro-science and pro-future and nuclear power. And one of the problems I have with some pro-nuclear environmentalists is that they will not listen to what anybody else has to say. They don't want to learn. And that's not just ignorance. That's willful ignorance. And that's way worse. That's much, much worse. And
agreed.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do think that sometimes they're just so afraid of carbon dioxide and methane that they just don't. And if they went near a nuclear reactor, like here in New York, New Jersey, they don't see most of the carbon that's emitted by the nuclear industry. They're not thinking about the uranium mines and mills that are poisoning people on, you know, the Dene people and others in areas where there is uranium. And, you know, they take millions of tons out of the ground to make a small amount of uranium. It's, you know.
The late John Trudell, who was Lakota, was a master at explaining what uranium was doing to his people. And Leona Morgan, who's Dene, lives in New Mexico, was a master at explaining it, what it's doing to the Dene and everybody in the Southwest Desert. It's bizarre that it's not part of things. And the fossil fuel industry and the nuclear industry have worked together to tell people that the only choice you have is between one kind of poison or another kind of poison. And they never give you the choice of, well, you know, if you use less energy in the first place, then you can get all your energy needs through wind, through solar, through geothermal. That's not part of their talk. And that's what gets onto mass media, other than WBAI, where you get a much greater picture of what's going on. And there's one environmentalist I know who says, well, we can't talk about nuclear at all because it's controversial. And I'm thinking, you're willing to address the pros and cons of carbon tax versus carbon trading, which has a lot of environmentalists going crazy over which one's better and which one's more possible. So that's very controversial. I'm glad it's being addressed. I'm very glad it's being addressed. But the nuclear issue should be in there, and all the information of what it does to the climate. Oh, my God. You know, when the nuclear industry says, oh, we're emission free. No, they're not. One, radiation is an emission. All right. They're emitting radiation every day. Secondly, they use fossil fuel to operate the pumps and safety equipment at nuclear power plants and to keep the cooling water circulating through the nuclear waste. Because if nuclear waste gets too hot, it will literally blow up. Was what happened in the Soviet Union. They lost several towns. They use a lot of energy to keep the nuclear waste cool forever. And so they use more energy to keep the waste cool than the plant made while it was operating for all 40 years, because they have to keep the waste cool for hundreds of years. And Sally mentioned the amount of fossil fuel used to mine the uranium, to mill it, to separate the different uranium isotopes out, to enrich the uranium so it's enough to be a fuel, and to transport. Uranium is heavier than lead, and they have to transport that, these gigantic bits, long sort of logs of fuel. And that all takes a lot of fossil fuel to do that. And uranium decays into other elements. And one of those elements is carbon, carbon-14, radioactive carbon. And they emit that in those daily emissions. And the carbon, when it gets into the air, will take oxygen out of the air. And now the carbon and the oxygen are carbon dioxide. So it makes carbon dioxide. It makes it. And of course, they heat their surroundings directly. So that's global warming for you as well.
And, you know, you talk about them using water to cool the fuel. Usually that's not a closed cycle system. So they're taking water every day, heating it up and pouring it back into, for instance, the Hudson River, killing off all kinds of, you know, marine life, and we've had some tritium lakes, which they say aren't as bad as some of the others, but who knows? You know about Church Rock, right? The biggest U.S. history spill, uranium spill in the country when a mine and mill broke in the Dene Reservation. Dene actually asked the New Mexican governor to get the EPA involved in the cleanup, and originally said no. It took decades for that to happen. Church Rock happened about the same time as Three Mile Island. It was way worse. And finally, next week, there is a meeting on the plan to on the environmental impact statement for the recovery, you know, to the restoration project.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. And we have links to more information. In the 20 minutes we have with you, we'll summarize as much as we can. But we on ecoradio.org, you get more information on everything that Sally and I are talking about. So please go there, get as educated as you can, and try to educate as many people. Of course, nuclear power plants are very, very expensive, even small ones. And small ones have radioactive waste, by the way. They have daily emissions, by the way. They're not benign. And when they were building the Shoreham nuclear plant back in the late 70s and early 80s, somebody did a study and figured out that for a fraction of the cost of Shoreham, and that was before the overruns. You could have put solar panels on every single home on Long Island, and it would have saved more oil. People worried about oil back then than the nuclear plant did, and it would give more jobs than the nuclear plant did. And that's not with figuring out the cost, with not figuring out the economy of scale. Because, of course, every home on Long Island is getting solar panels. They're way cheaper than when people are getting it one at a time. Well, nuclear power plants are way more expensive than Shoreham was. Way more, even the small ones. The ones in Georgia, the amount that they've raised the rates. You know, proving nuclear power is not cheap. If they have to raise the rates in order to do it, then it's obviously not cheap.
They have sunk billions into those plants in Georgia, and they're still not operating. Meanwhile, rates have gone up something like 20% for your, I think I read somewhere. It's nonsense. And when they're finally operating, they can't find any insurance. So we've got the Price Anderson Act that's the national government's insuring all the power plants private insurance companies don't want to take that risk. Too big for them.
And what about the subsidy that they're requiring us to pay as rate to raise the rates to supplement the nuclear industry?
Right. I mean, in New York.
It can't, in New York, they can't exist without subsidy.
Right. And Ohio gave their nuclear plants a subsidy, and now we're finding out about all the potential bribery or what happened, you know, whatever illegal things went on there. There's big controversy. New Jersey passed a big nuclear bailout for PSE&G. We're over the environmentalist objections.
Just think if they put a fraction of those subsidies into solar, wind, other renewables. Just think about that. I mean, we want our subsidies too.
The United States would be exporting electricity to Canada and Mexico. It's as simple as that.
Unlike the Champlain Hudson Express project that they're talking about.
It's the opposite direction.
To its credit, you know, New York has said we're only buying Pier 4 from the pre-existing mega dams. We're not going to let them sell us from new. But other markets aren't doing that. And how long is that promise hold? You know, how long before they go back on it?
And I know there are people who like birds listening to this when they start building mega dams and destroying forest in order to send electricity where it's not needed because New York State has excess electricity galore because people are saving it. When you buy an energy efficient light bulb, you're helping shut down a power plant. And when you buy an Energy Star appliance, when you insulate your home, all these things, you are affecting whether a power plant is needed or not. And you're doing that, one at a time. And, from 2007, 2017, that added up to 5,000 megawatts that people in New York State saved. And that's the equivalent of 1 million homes and 5 nuclear power plants. And, of course, it's another nuclear plant power plant's worth of solar and efficiency every year in New York State.
Right.
And that's all individual. That's all you folks.
And the government could be subsidizing that and make it go that much faster. But no, they'd rather sink the money into industry.
Without the government helping out, we're still saving all that money. And everybody wants to save money. It's a pretty cool thing. You're not only saving it, you're taking it out of the utility. And I don't know if anybody likes their nuclear utility. Or any utility.
Well, I guess, they can be good jobs, but, renewables can be good jobs too. People with that knowledge can easily transfer to another form of energy generation, right?
Yeah, I went to an eco fair in the South Bronx where a solar thermal installer that's heating hot water from the sun was speaking, saying, I have more work than I can do. So he was hoping that the people in the South Bronx would learn how to do solar thermal, which isn't that hard, so that they could take some of the demand away from him. And so he was making a good living, had more work than he could get. And
there's another great idea for a government subsidy. Help people get that training so they can get those jobs and contribute to their neighborhoods and their families and our energy.
Yeah, Bronx Community College used to have a course. It took 5 evenings in a week to teach people who were already licensed plumbers how to do solar thermal. And they would teach electricians how to do solar photovoltaic, electricity. And not enough people wanted them, so they don't offer them.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
I wonder how well publicized they were.
Colleges tend not to publicize individual courses. You know, they asked me to mention it on the radio, which I did when it looked like they were going to die, and they lasted one more semester. But they said the instructor is still available. So if enough people call Bronx Community College or any community college, there's a good chance you can get those courses back. Oh, boy, we're running out of time. So much to say. So very much to say. There's a lot of website links on the ecoradio.org page right now. So we haven't gone into great detail on how it affects women more than men. But there's a link to that. And there's a link to just what the indigenous people are going through with all this. So,
yeah, it's a huge environmental justice issue. And that NRC meeting on December 9th, you know, people can go there and make comments and learn more from our website before they go.
Well, we really do run out of time faster than we run out of things to say. We will put up this discussion on our website. We'll send notices to our email list when it's up. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and please sign up on our mailing list.
There's a lot of news there, you know, things like how the fracking industry was getting rid of nuclear waste by putting it in the water table. There's links to that. There's all kinds of information on the website. So please sign up. That's ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org. We need you to feel and know that this listener-sponsored radio station is yours. You can show your responsibility and your love for WBAI and for Ecologic and help keep us on the air. Yes, you do have that much power. We know you want to hear more environmental news, so this is how. Go to www.give2wbai.org website to get any one or more of our terrific premiums by putting eco-logic in the search box in the upper right corner. Also, we would like to encourage each of you to become our buddy. Please, just go to www.give2wbai.org, go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Eco-logic and pledge a monthly amount. Any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you.
You have our sincere thanks.
And big thanks to our wonderful engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Share this thing called life. Celebrate each day's rebirth.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. Some school districts in Northern Virginia are planning to return some students to classrooms as more evidence is emerging that virtual learning is taking a toll on vulnerable children. Loudoun County Schools opened doors to over 7,300 elementary school students this week. Arlington Schools plan a return for elementary and middle school students early next year, while Alexandria City Schools expect that some students with disabilities and English language learners will return to school buildings in late January. These moves come as schools are beginning to release data on student grades for this semester, indicating steep declines in academic performance among low-income students and students of color in the Washington, D.C. area. Failing grades in math and English have increased up to 6 times among poor students of color in Montgomery County Public Schools. Fairfax County said nearly twice as many students were earning at least 2 Fs as compared to last semester, with the largest increases observed among students with disabilities, English language learners, and Hispanic students. But returning to classrooms isn't possible without support from teachers and other staff. Instructors across the D.C. area are concerned about safety, and many say they can't return to classrooms because they are caring for a family member. Washington, D.C. reported 316 new coronavirus cases yesterday for over 22,400 total confirmed cases. The district reported 1 new COVID-19-related death, bringing total fatalities to 693. Mayor Muriel Bowser said she expects a rise in cases over the coming weeks. D.C. reported 371 new cases on Saturday, the district's highest single-day count since the start of the pandemic. Maryland reported nearly 3,800 new cases for a total over 209,000. 8% of coronavirus tests in the state are positive. Maryland reported 24 new confirmed COVID-19-related deaths, bringing fatalities to a total 4,630. Maryland officials said a child under the age of 9 died of coronavirus on Sunday. Hundreds of Google employees have published an open letter following the firing of a colleague who is an accomplished scientist known for her research into the ethics of artificial intelligence and her work showing racial bias in facial recognition technology. Timnit Gebru helped lead Google's ethical artificial intelligence team until Tuesday. She says she was forced out of the company following a dispute over a research paper and an email she subsequently sent to peers expressing frustration over how the tech giant treats employees of color and women. Yesterday, over 400 lawmakers across 34 countries signed a letter to Amazon boss Jeff Bezos saying the company owes, quote, debts to workers, societies, and the planet, end quote. Signatories include Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, as well as former UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. Quote, we stand ready to act in our respective legislatures to support the movement that is growing around the world to make Amazon pay, end quote. The Make Amazon Pay campaign was launched on Black Friday this year by a group of over 50 organizations. The coalition is demanding better working conditions and increased transparency around taxes paid by Amazon. Heidi Stirrup, Trump's top aide at the Justice Department, has been banned from the department's building after trying to pressure staffers to give up sensitive information about the election, according to the Associated Press. Stirrup allegedly approached department staffers demanding information about election fraud investigations. And one of the AP's sources also said Stirrup offered top Justice Department jobs to political allies without consulting senior officials or the White House counsel's office. Yesterday, Trump appointed Stirrup to be a member of the Board of Visitors to the U.S. Air Force Academy, according to a White House press release. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 52 degrees and overcast. In New York City, also 52 degrees and overcast. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.